Welcome to Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interview with the candidates. These interviews are provided as a service to those who want to be informed and educated voters. Venango County Tea Party Patriots is an affiliate of the National Tea Party Patriots, a grassroots organization of voters interested in protecting our Constitution and keeping elected officials accountable to their oath of office. Local meetings are held on the fourth Saturday of every month at 9 a.m., unless otherwise noted in the newspaper or on our email list. If you consider yourself a patriot and would like to be a part of this group, you can email Jane at vcTPP.org. That's Jane at vcTPP.org or call 814-671-7110. That's 814-671-7110. And now to our interview. Our guest today is Fred Weaver, who is running for the commissioner position in Venango County in the 2015 primary. Welcome, Fred. Glad to have you here with us today.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We'll get right started with the questions here. Can you give us a short synopsis of why you want to run for the position of Venango County commissioner and what qualifications you bring to the job?
Yes, I'd be glad to. First of all, I'd like to say I'm pro-life, I'm pro-Second Amendment, and I'm extremely pro-taxpayer. I have been a public servant all my life. I'm a retired police officer, a retired PA Department of Corrections officer, and a retired master sergeant from the United States Air Force. I've served on numerous boards, Oil City Parking Board, Venango Regional Counseling Board. I have served on Youth Alternatives Board of Directors, and at the current time I'm with the Community Services in Oil City and a school board member in Oil City. I think I'm qualified for this job because not only do I have the practical experience, I also have a degree in human resources, a bachelor's degree from Geneva College in Beaver Falls. And basically, I've been dealing with municipal budgets pretty much all my adult life.
You sound like you've been a busy guy.
I've had a varied and very enjoyable career.
That's good.
Or okay. I should say careers.
And what is your estimate of time that you feel is adequate to accomplish the commissioner's duties?
I actually believe that that would take a full 4 years. However, I think that in order to get settled into the job, it would probably take 6 to 8 months to start feeling comfortable with all the goings-on and the extra duties that a person would assume with taking on the job of county commissioner.
Mm-hmm. And so you would plan to make it a full-time position?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be a full-time commissioner. I don't know how... I don't know how some of our commissioners do it with offices in three cities and a full-time practice. I just don't know if you can give your full due to the county and not be a full-time commissioner.
Okay, so you are a Republican candidate running for the position. How long have you been a member of the Republican Party and why?
I've been a Republican since about 2001. I was a chairman of Oil City Republican Party for a number of years and a committee person in Oil City 4 for a number of years. I became a Republican because I found that I'm extremely conservative. And I believe that most of the Republican principles apply to me. I believe in a balanced budget. I believe in... fiscal responsibility. I believe in transparency, accountability, accessibility, and I think these are all qualities that a person has to have, and it pretty much aligns itself with the principles of the Republican Party, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, when a commissioner takes the oath of office, he takes an oath to uphold the Constitution of the U.S. and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So what does that mean to you as you consider this position of public service?
That means a lot to me. I've taken an oath as a police officer. I've taken an oath as a corrections officer. And I've taken an oath as a master sergeant in the United States Air Force. And when you take that oath and you say that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States, I think that's exactly what it means. There's some laws that I disagree with and I don't think are quite right. However, unlike some of our elected officials, the last go around here, we had people say that they didn't like a law, so they just weren't going to enforce it or they weren't going to apply it. I disagree with that. If it's a law and it's on the books, it's a law and it has to be changed by legislation. That's the only way they can change it, not by a simple stroke of the pen or somebody's opposition to it.
Mm-hmm. What's your philosophy on balancing the budget of the county? What priorities apply there for you?
Well, our county budget right now, about 40% of our county budget is in regard to human resources, which is somewhat my field of expertise. That's a big chunk of our budget. That's almost half of our budget. And we have to look at every line item in that budget. And just like the school board, I review that budget line item by line item. And any frivolous spending or fraud, waste, or abuse or any type of luxury spending, I oppose that because, like I say, I'm pro-taxpayer, and they're the ones that are footing the bill. So I would strive to have a county budget that's balanced without using the reserve fund. The reserve fund only lasts so long, and then it's gone. So I don't believe in balancing the budget with the use of reserves. I think that's a little irresponsible. I often equate this to a person that has their own house and they set their thermostat at 62 degrees in the wintertime, and then they decide it's too cold, so they run their thermostat up to 72 degrees, and when they get their bill the following month, they say, oh my word, this bill's increased by $100. I'm going to have to go up and down the street and ask each neighbor for $10 more so I can pay my bill. And in essence, that's what we do to the taxpayers. When we raise the bills, we go to the taxpayers and ask them for more money. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just a number of ways that things can be cut. I've dealt with budgets for a long time. In all the budgets that I've seen, even in the Department of Corrections, it was 1.2 billion when I retired when I started in 97, and when I retired in 2004, it was 1.9 billion. So the budgets are just out of control, and we somehow have to get everything down to a bare necessity. And it's just like at your home. You have to balance your budget at home. You couldn't possibly operate your house the way government operates, from city to county to state to federal. It's just it's just beyond comprehension to me.
Mm. Yeah, they seem to grow, that's for sure, the budgets. As you know, there are a lot of boards that the commissioners serve on, and of all the boards that they are required to be a part of, what area of county government most interests you?
I think that the most interesting boards that would be in my realm would be parks, like 2 Mile Park, the prison board, the housing board, and the pension board. These are all areas that are important to me and important to all taxpayers, because they have an effect on our basic tax situation in regard to how much things cost.
This next topic is one that some in our county have some concerns. Not many know much about it, but some of our citizens have concerns about the UN policies regarding Agenda 21 and how it will affect our county and communities. Can you address that concern?
I was somewhat unaware of this until you and I had talked previously, and then it became an issue on the questions that the candidates were going to be asked. So I did a little research, and I came to find that it's a non-binding voluntary implemented action, a plan of the United Nations, and it's approximately a 400-page document, or 300-page, excuse me. It's divided into 40 chapters, and it has four sections. And I just am amazed when I read down through it. It talks about social and economic dimensions, conservation and management of resource development, strengthening the role of major groups and means of implementation, I opposed any agreement or any treaty that's handled by one individual. Now, President George H. Bush signed this in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro. And although it's not binding, it's just overwhelming to me. There's issues in there that have to do with land acquisition. They have to do with controlling how many children a family can have. It's just overwhelming to me that another country or other countries can become so involved in our sovereign rights and even have a say in it. And I strongly reject the whole policy of Agenda 21, and I think people should read through it and educate themselves on it and see that there is nothing in it that appeals to me, and maybe that's because of my conservative side, but I'm entirely opposed to Agenda 21.
Now, can you explain what the term land bank means? Is this something our county government is involved in or should be involved in?
I'm not sure if our county government's involved in it at this time. I guess you could say the purchase of properties that the county takes over, like the Troy Woods area and other buildings that they've owned, might be stretched into it. And according to Wikipedia, it says it's a practice of aggregating parcels of land for future sale or development. The practice is sometimes used as part of a scam where the undeveloped land is sold for more than its market value under the false promise that local development is expected to dramatically increase the plot's value. While in many countries, land banking may refer to various private real estate investment schemes, in the United States it refers to an established but quasi-government county or municipal authorities proposed with managing an inventory of surplus land. I don't believe that any government should be involved in any type of land grab, whether it be through eminent domain or whether it be through the guise of land banking. If that land is available and that land is available for development, believe me, there's a private enterprise out there that can do it better and more efficiently than government can. Therefore, I think the privatization of this land and this land banking, I'm adamantly against it. I think it's a crazy idea, and it sounds like more taxpayer money being spent on frivolous items that they have no business being involved in.
Can you give us your opinion on the current issue facing the county regarding the Oil City parking garage and the ultimate plan for that property? Either pros, cons, whatever you think about that.
Well, this is a very interesting two-sided coin here. I was around when the parking ramp was built and put into operation in 1977. It's been a white elephant ever since it's been there. I was on the Oil City Parking Authority for a number of years, and I don't recall the ramp ever being a profitable entity. Having said that, now it's the biggest eyesore or one of the biggest eyesores in the city. And of course the city goes through all their procedures and ordinances and stuff, and they tell you how they're going to clean up the city and that they're going to remove clutter and so forth and so on. Well, the biggest clutter that I can see in Oil City right now is the parking ramp. And it's going to cost at least $1 million to tear it down. That's probably very conservative. However, I don't like the idea of the county taking property, but I think in this regard, it's sitting there and it's doing nothing. So if the county can come up with some funding and some grants to get that tore down, put a nice building in there, create some jobs, and move some activity into the downtown of Oil City, then I'd be in favor of that. And as long as it's not something exorbitant where it costs the taxpayers a ton of money, if it can be done on a very reasonable basis with very fiscal responsible plans, then I'd be in for it. I'd be for it because I think that downtown needs a shot in the arm, and I just think that it possibly could work if it could be done without a lot of cost to the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm. And the last question we have on our interview today is, since the commissioners serve on the election board in non-election years, of course, what steps do you think need to be taken to make sure our elections are free from voter fraud and machine malfunction?
Well, I formerly served on the election board, actually. It was very interesting. We had some test ballots and stuff at the courthouse, and when we went through the test process, everything appeared to be okay, and everything seemed to check out with the ballots that were cast and the way things were handled. However, I have always been a big proponent of checks and balances, and I just don't know if I'm comfortable with machines doing all our recording and tallying when it comes to ballots. I think there should be a backup system or some type of checks and balances. Personally, I like the old paper ballots, and maybe that's because I'm a little bit older and I'm not as computer savvy as some of the younger folks in our local area are. And some of our older voters I know are intimidated by those voting machines. They even though they're not a computer, they associate it with the computer idea, and a lot of them have told me that they're very intimidated by them. But then again, you go back to the manual phase where you have to go through the cost and the paper ballots and the sitting down, the tallying, and it's a hard thing to call. I like the voting machines, but I would like to see a better source of checks and balances, and I'd like to have a better guarantee that there's no way that they can be tampered with. As you know, they hack into everything from Target to every credit card account. Everything that's computer generated or computer controlled has been hacked at one form or another. So to say that they're infallible, I would have to disagree with that. I don't think they're infallible, but I think mm-hmm. they're fairly accurate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the biggest problem we may have is just getting the voters to the polls, don't you think?
Oh, my word. Yes, it's terrible. I think regardless of who you vote for or what party, I served 27 years in the armed forces, and I retired as a master sergeant. And most service people tell you that if they served that time and are a veteran, they expect everybody to vote, not 20%. 20% right. of the people should not make the decision for the whole country. So I would encourage everybody to get out and vote. And if you need rides, there's rides available. If you take a friend with you and make sure they vote, call your neighbors and make sure they vote. It's just important that we exercise that. I mean, that's a tremendous, tremendous freedom that we have and a right that we have in the United States. And so many people don't exercise it. It's sad.
Okay. I'll say amen to that. And thank you, Fred, for coming in for our interviews today. We've been talking with Fred Weaver, who is running for commissioner in the 2015 primary. Thank you again.
Thank you. And don't forget, I'll be number 4 on the ballot.
You have been listening to the Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interviews with the candidates. We encourage all voters to vote. Every election is important. It is a patriot's duty to exercise this right. Thank you for taking time to be an informed voter. Please continue to check our website at www.vctpp.org for more educational resources.